This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
When you tune into a Christian radio station, you might not expect the topic of conversation to be pornography, but whether we like it or not, the global porn industry is changing the way we view sex in both private and public life. It's contributing to the abuse of women and children and putting unprecedented pressure on women and girls to live up to the hyper-sexualized media images that men are consuming every day. A new book edited by Melinda Tankard-Reese and Abigail Bray, with contributions from around the world, reveals just how much the global porn industry trades in violence and degradation, and it's really quite scary. Melinda Tankard-Reese is on the line to discuss her latest work. It's called Big Porn Inc. Hi, Melinda. Good to talk to you again.
Hi, Katrina. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, when you when you write a book like this, you have to include some pretty distasteful sort of information and content. How do you work out where that line is of what you will and won't publish? Yeah.
Oh, look, that was a challenge every day that we worked on the book, and we may not have got it right. We had ethical dilemmas most days on what to leave in and what to leave out, and had we gone too far, had we not gone far enough. One rule we set ourselves was that we wouldn't reprint any websites. Mm-hmm. So we had that as a given right from the start. But, you know, we chose to go pretty graphic because pornography is a hidden public health hazard, and it is causing untold damage in terms of relationships, in terms of distorting the emerging sexuality of young people, in terms of what it does to women in the industry. You know, this is a global industry, and it has been very clever in spinning itself as being about freedom, liberation, civil liberties, being about just fun and naughty pictures. And we felt we had to blow that idea out of the water, which is why we include as much graphic content as we did.
Yeah. Let's talk about, firstly, the impact on children and young people. What evidence is there that young people are being increasingly influenced by pornography and how they think about their sexuality?
This is probably the element of Big Porn Inc. that disturbed me the most, is the impact on young people. Pornography is distorting boys' expectations of women and girls. We know that 70% of boys have seen porn in Australia by the age of 12 and 100% by the age of 15. So they are being socialised and conditioned into a very brutal version of masculinity. Research tells us, 33 studies actually so far, tell us that viewing porn increases aggression, sexual harassment, sexually callous attitudes. It desensitizes boys to violence, and that boys who view porn are more likely to tolerate degrading attitudes to women. In two particular studies, of one of Canadian teenagers with an average age of 14, there was a correlation between boys' frequent consumption of porn and they're in agreement with the idea that it's acceptable to hold a girl down for sex. And another study of Italian adolescents 14 to 19 found an association between porn use and sexually harassing a peer to have sex. And one more anecdote I will share with you is a friend of mine is making a documentary on pornography, and she has interviewed 70 young people. A 15-year-old boy says, "I looked to pornography so that I could learn how to relate to women and girls. And then when I was having sex with girls, I would hit them and slap them and pull their hair and call them names that I probably can't use on your radio station, Katrina."
Yeah.
And I realised that actually they didn't like those things. I was really surprised that the girls reacted badly because pornography told me the girls would like it.
That's one of the shocking things, isn't it, that you say in pornography girls look like they're enjoying it.
That's right. That's right. The girls look like they're enjoying it. Of course they have to look that way. They'll be punished if they don't. They have to look like they love being treated badly. To quote a gonzo porn filmmaker, he says, "While my overt task was to make sure the girls got naked, my true responsibility as director was to make sure they got punished. And even while they're being punished, they have to look like, you know, this is just the best experience of their life." And so boys think that this is normal, and girls are taught that they have to provide the what's known as the PSE, which is the porn star experience for boys. They are seen as sexual performers, and that they are sexual service stations for boys. And they'll also tolerate abuse themselves. Psychologists are reporting that girls will tolerate emotional, physical and sexual abuse because it is eroticised in pornography, and so they think that's normal.
Mm, dear. And what about for adult relationships? How does using pornography affect people's real-life adult sexual relationships?
Well, men report that they have distorted attitudes towards women, that they're always measuring women up against what they've seen in pornography. And of course, real life women come up short. And women report feeling that their partners are cheating on them, their partners are having affairs when their partners consume pornography. We open the book with a personal account of a woman who discovers her partner's porn use, the devastation to her of that. And I just don't think this element is well understood. She felt there was a third party in the relationship. One man said, "I've got another woman, and that other woman is pornography."
Yeah, it's awful.
And so often the men prefer to get sexual satisfaction online than they do with their real-life partners who are made to feel inadequate. One woman I know discovered that her new husband was a compulsive user of pornography, and she was so desperate to keep him and save the marriage. She said, "You know, what can I do to make it more like porn?" Because she realised that's all he responded to. And tragically, you know, she was willing for a time to try to imitate that to make him happy. So look, there's no end to stories like this. I'm receiving them regularly, especially since the book has been out, of people sharing what pornography is doing to them and their relationships.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Melinda Tankard-Reist. We're talking about her latest book. It's called Big Porn Inc. I know, Melinda, that one of your main concerns is for the women who are caught up in the industry. How are they treated?
Yes, we included some personal stories there of degradation and subordination, and women just being treated like meat, women contracting sexually transmitted illnesses, many of them having to leave the industry because they just couldn't cope with it, suffering long-term post-traumatic stress. Again, the industry has been so clever to present this as being about women who are liberated. But when you start speaking to women in the industry, start collecting first-hand accounts, you realise there's nothing liberating in this at all. We have an account of a former sex worker in Melbourne, a lap dancer, who talks about what it was like to perform for men every night and to be touched by them and just to be really reduced to her sexual parts. And also we have the stories of a girl, well, she was a girl, but she was being made the subject of child pornography, and what it's like for her, she's known as Amy, what is it is like for her to know that men are using her images every day, that those images will never be removed. They're part of a famous child porn collection. And so we included her personal account, her victim impact statement, as well. So these are the human faces of the global porn industry.
And it's not just what they had to do, as you said, it's the fact that this exists for all time, that humiliation is ongoing, and
correct,
there's nothing they can do to get it back once it's out there.
That's right.
Yeah. I know in your book you quoted a study by Anna J. Bridges, who analysed the content of the best-selling and best-renting pornographic videos in the USA. So this is not edgy, you know, this is the mainstream stuff.
That's right.
And she found 88% of scenes contained physical aggression against women. Why has it become so violent against women?
So violent. She found, 88% of scenes contained physical aggression, and that 94% of those scenes were directed towards women. And in the majority of those scenes, the women were depicted as enjoying it. Look, porn is so separate now, really, from sex as most people understand it. It is increasingly violent, degrading, humiliating. Torture porn is a popular genre. The idea is to make women suffer, to see how much they can take. Because what's happened is that men have become acclimatized to so-called standard or regular porn. So the porn industry, you know, it's a competitive industry, has ramped it up a notch, and it has become increasingly violent. And so tragically, violence has become equated with sexiness. And again, this goes back to your original question about young people. They think that violence and sex go together, and we are seeing an increase of violence against girls in intimate partner relationships. And I believe that is informed significantly by pornography.
How do you cope with immersing yourself in such bleak content every day? I found it distressing just, you know, spending a couple of hours preparing for this interview. You have to think and talk about this every day.
Yes. Look, this is the hardest project I've ever done. This is my fourth book. And look, it was very, very, a very tough project for all of us. I was only rescued really by the brilliant women I got to work with every day. We would debrief most days on this. Everyone involved in this book was harmed to some degree because you learn things you wish you didn't know.
Yeah.
There was a counsellor I was debriefing with in Melbourne. I didn't actually know he was a counsellor at the time, but he happened to be at a conference I was at. And he described it as a terrible knowledge. And I thought that just captured it perfectly. I did have a holiday at the end of it. Some girlfriends recognised that I probably need to get out of here and get away from the project and turn my phone off and my computer off. And so they took me to Bali for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
Not 3 weeks. God, I wish it was 3 weeks.
3 days, was it?
No, 10 days, actually. And just had a wonderful time there and became human again. But I must admit, I didn't want to engage on the book on my return. But I suppose we believed in the project. We believed it had to be put out there and open up to the light.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I stand by everything that's in the book. But certainly there was a price to pay for sure. And in terms of the ongoing abuse.
Well, that's what I was going to...
writing the book as well.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about in terms of the price. I mean, maybe look at forums on this topic. Those who say that it's, you know, their personal right and freedom to consume pornography, they seem to be quite vitriolic in their outbursts. I imagine that you'd get a lot of hate mail.
Yes, I do most days, and I got some today actually, and I wouldn't even be able to repeat what was said on your program, given the nature of your show and your listeners. Yes, a lot of abuse and not engaging in the arguments, just personal abuse,
which tells you something, doesn't it?
It tells you a lot.
Yeah,
it tells you also how much of a sense of entitlement many people have, and these are often people with vested interests in the porn industry, in keeping business as usual. You know, they don't want anything to stand in their way to get satisfaction from whatever they want. Mm. You may recall a couple of years ago, a global activist group called Anon shut down the Parliament House internet operating system as a protest against the proposed internet filter, which of course we still don't have. They put up porn all over parliamentarians' emails and websites, and they issued a statement in which they said, "We demand our right to access all forms of pornography, legal and illegal." So these are people that don't want anything to stand in their way. They believe they have an absolute right and absolute entitlement to access all kinds of pornography, including child pornography, which is worth $20 billion a year in an overall industry that's worth $100 billion, estimated worth by the year 2013. So, you know, certainly we're up against it, but... we at least want individuals to resist pornography, to recognise the harms, to get real about it, and also to protect their children and young people where possible, to engage with them on the issues. This is one big problem, is that no one's talking about it, and even, you know, in the faith community and youth groups need to be having this discussion.
It can seem a bit hopeless, though, I think. It can seem a bit hopeless when you've got this $100 billion industry and you can kind of think, you know, is there any hope in this struggle? Because it seems like they're winning.
That's why we included the section on activism at the end and some wins that have been had around the world. And a lot of that activism is being led by men. We have a couple of chapters in the back of the book by men who are leading anti-porn projects and organisations globally. And they are men that have resisted the colonisation of pornography for their own lives. And I think if we see more men like that rising up and resisting porn for themselves, then that will give permission to other men to do the same thing, to recognise the porn industry is out to exploit them and is out to distort and brutalise their sexuality. So they should be as angry about this industry as many women like myself are.
And if there are men, or women, I guess, listening to this right now who have a problem with porn and they're thinking, oh, gee, maybe I need to do something about this, do you have any starting points there for
them? There are so few resources in Australia. But if they go online and do a search for help, you know, they'll find something. They'll find something online. I'm trying to put together a list of resources now.
Yeah.
But you know, it really is quite inadequate. There's a Melbourne-based group called Roundabout. They might want to check that out. I've just been told about a book for men on the subject. I'm just trying to track the details down on that. But you know, sadly, the resources are very, very limited.
Okay.
But I'll put up whatever's available on my website.
Okay. Well, thanks, Melinda. And yeah, we'll keep in touch, and I'll try and get that information out to people as well. Thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for, I guess, the sacrifice that you make immersing yourself in this horrible stuff so that the rest of us can know about it.
Thanks so much for your interest, Katrina. Thanks for having me on your program.
That's Melinda Tankard-Reese. She is one of the editors of the book, Big Porn Inc., Exposing the Harms of the Global Pornography Industry. And if you want to get involved in resisting porn culture, sign up to Collective Shout. The website is collectiveshout.org.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.